Good evening, everyone. Hope you all can hear me okay. Let me just quickly share my screen here. All right. So last couple of weeks, we were considering some of the unique attributes of God. And today, we'll be looking at the third incommunicable attribute of God, which is called, which has the word omni at the beginning of it. And that is his omnipresence, which is one of the most difficult attributes of God to grasp. The word omni, as we discussed in our previous sessions, means all or totally. And when we say that God is omnipresent, it means that he is fully and totally present everywhere. And I'd like to look at two passages from the scriptures that provide some insight into this attribute. The first one is in Psalms chapter 139, verses 7 to 10. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there, your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. So David here is asking several rhetorical questions. Where can I escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And the implied answer is nowhere. We cannot escape from God's presence. And the response we see from David in 8, 9, and 10, it paints a picture of an all-encompassing God who is present everywhere, and there is no corner or dimension of the universe hidden from him. The other passage I like to read is in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord?" Here we see that it is now God who is asking these rhetorical questions to mankind. And he is revealing here that there is nothing that happens in this world that can escape his attention. So these are two portions from the scriptures that teach us that God is everywhere and he is inescapable. Even when we consider the life of Jonah, God had a plan for him which was to go to the great city of Nineveh and announce God's judgment against the city because of its wickedness. But what does Jonah do? He decided to flee and hide from God's presence by taking a ship to Tarshish, but only to find that God was waiting for him in the belly of a great fish. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, we read, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere." And it is not the same as the omnipresence of God. Pantheism was very common in the ancient world. It's even common today. And what it tends to do is equate God with things and with forces of nature. For example, pantheism says that God is in the tree, so worship that tree. And another form of pantheism says that there are many gods and they are all to be worshipped. However, the God of the Bible is a God who exists eternally, and he is separate and distinct from his creation. He is not bound by space, nor is he confined to any geographical location. So omnipresence applies only to our one and true God, and it is clearly distinct from pantheism. Now, it's interesting to note that as humans, we subconsciously desire to be present at many places at the same time. The technologies that are at our disposal today, it makes it easy for us to stay connected and be virtually present in different locations through tools like our mobile devices, social media, as well as the internet. We generally, as humans, don't want to miss anything, right? Even the term FOMO, or fear of missing out, is a well-known phenomenon today that is fostered by and linked to social media. Often we are misled to think that being on social media, Facebook, Instagram, gives us the connections and the presence to be in more than one place at the same time. But our human minds, they have limitations. Many times in our own lives, even though we are physically present at a place, our minds may tend to wander off elsewhere because we lack the attention and focus. But in contrast, God is fully and totally present wherever he is. And at the same time, he fills the vastness of space, including the heavens and the earth. Now, another aspect we need to consider is that there is a difference between God's omnipresence and the manifest presence of God. The omnipresence of God can exist without our awareness. As we read earlier in Psalms chapter 139 and Jeremiah chapter 23, we see there that God's presence fills the heavens and the earth, and yet it may not be readily discerned with our senses. But the manifest presence of God is made clear to us as it is defined by him. So it's important for us to have a greater understanding of God's manifest presence. For example, we read in Genesis chapter 3 that God manifested his presence as he walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. Similarly, in Exodus chapter 3, God manifested his presence to Moses in the burning bush. And we read there that the angel of the Lord appeared in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush, and Moses just stared in amazement at it. That was the same state of King Nebuchadnezzar as well, when he saw the manifest presence of God in the burning fiery furnace. We read in Daniel chapter 3 that he was so astonished that he stood up, or else he jumped up in haste. So God's manifest presence is made clear to us, and it is readily discernible with our senses. So now I'd like to quickly look at some of the promises given to us regarding the manifest presence of God. The first one is that God manifests, promises to manifest himself to those who seek him. We were studying these past two Sundays on the subject of seeking God, about its importance and how in today's pandemic crisis, it has become the need of the hour. And keeping that in mind, I like to read a portion from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." So we need to seek the Lord with all our heart and with an afflicted soul through prayer and fasting. Secondly, God promises to manifest himself to those who trust and obey. Turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 21. It says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." So Jesus here promises his disciples that if they trust and obey his commandments, then he would show himself to them. And then finally, the third one is that God promises to manifest himself to the humble. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, it says, "For thus says the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit." So we see here that God dwells with the humble and also with the repentant hearts. So given these promises, let us strive in our own lives to seek the Lord in all earnestness, to trust and obey, and also to humble ourselves so that we can experience God's manifest presence in our lives. Now, at the beginning of the session, I mentioned that omnipresence was one of the attributes that is very difficult for us humans to grasp and fully understand. So I'd like to touch on this subject just briefly before we conclude the session and also look at a few examples in the scriptures that gives us some more insight into this. We all know we live in a world that is three-dimensional in nature. And what we perceive as reality is determined by our five senses. They are sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. And if we are just considering one of those senses, sight or vision, what we discern in our three-dimensional space is limited by what our human eyes can see in the visible spectrum. So here in the next slide is the electromagnetic spectrum on the left side. And what we see or perceive with our human eyes is just a very narrow band called the visible spectrum over here. Some animals like birds and even butterflies can see other spectrums like on this band, like infrared and ultraviolet. And to better appreciate this, on the right side is an image. Okay? It's the image of the Carina Nebula, which is around 8,500 light years away from us. And we see here that the nebula from the perspective of two lenses. One is from the visible light lens on the left, and we can see here the details of the colors of the nebula. But on the right side, you can see it from the infrared lens, the same version of that same view. We see the details here of new stars very close to the nebula, the new stars that are forming, which are completely invisible in the visible light lens. So the point I wanted to highlight here is that our vision is limited to a very small portion of the available light spectrum. And it's hard to imagine what life would be if our eyes were opened completely. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. We haven't even considered our other senses or even higher dimensions of space. And just with regard to higher dimensions, the rule of thumb is that an object that exists in a higher dimensional space will be invisible to anyone that exists in the lower dimensional space. So for example, if we were to imagine creatures living in a two-dimensional flat surface, like a piece of paper, those beings would only perceive two dimensions, length and width. And so we who live in the three-dimensional space would be completely invisible to them. And same is the case for someone who is transported from our three-dimensional world into a four-dimensional space. He would remain invisible to us until he returns back to our three-dimensional space. Now, let's look at this from God's perspective. God is a spirit being, and he is not bound by any spatial dimension. In other words, God exists on an infinite dimension, and he fills all the ones that are below him. The Bible records some instances where God allows humans to get a small peek, a glance of this invisible realm. So I'd like to turn to some of those portions here. The first one I'd like to look at is in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17. It says there, "Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and the chariots of fire all around Elisha." Here we see that prophet Elisha asked God to open the eyes of his servant Gehazi and give him a glimpse of that invisible realm hidden from us. Another verse I like to look at is in John chapter 20, verse 19. It says this, "In the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of the fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" In this instance, we see that behind closed doors, Jesus appeared out of nowhere and stood right in front of them. And this explains a higher dimensional realm that we cannot perceive and which is even beyond our imagination. So these are a few instances in the scripture where we see God allowing his creation to catch a glimpse of that unseen realm. So in conclusion, the fact that God is omnipresent should motivate us all to live in holiness. And the message of the good news of the gospel is that we have an omnipresent God who is always with us. He has become for us Emmanuel, which means God with us. Truly, the God of Jacob is our stronghold, and he's also our fortress. So with that, I would like to conclude today's study, and we will consider other attributes of God next week. May his name be glorified.